Protecting Endangered Species, stories from Czech zoos.
On a bend on the river Vltava in the district of Troja lies one of the biggest attractions of the Czech capital, Prague Zoo. It was founded in 1931 with a mission to educate the public and protect nature, and Prague Zoo today continues to fulfill both of those principles. This spring, the zoo publicized its extensive set of conservation projects in 2025, which see its experts helping wildlife across the world, from Australia to Azerbaijan. On a sunny spring day, I spoke to one key figure at the zoo, someone who is at the center of a great deal of zoological work.
My name is Jaroslav Šimek, and I'm here at the position of the deputy director of the zoology. It means somebody who is in charge of the zoological department. I started in the zoo something like 22 years ago, but at a different position. I started as a curator of hoofstock, of hoofed mammals, among others also the wild horses, Przewalski horses, which are now the top priority regarding the conservation at the Prague Zoo. And from 2010, when the new director came to his position, Mr. Bobek, so soon after that I was asked to take over this position of the deputy director for zoology.
With so many animals, so many projects, and so many members of the Prague Zoo, it was no surprise that Dr. Šimek couldn't really describe a typical day for him.
We have something like 700 species. The zoological department has over 100 people. And all the time something is going on. So most of my duties is related and limited to the office work, but as much as possible I'm trying to go also to the field, to the zoo. But I'm really not able to say what is a typical day.
Prague Zoo has a wide range of conservation projects, either completed or currently underway, protecting both familiar and very unfamiliar species. Some of their star animals include gorillas and pangolins, as well as the gharial, a critically endangered and unique crocodilian species found in India. The Egyptian vulture, the smallest of the four vulture species found in Europe, has also been supported through the fieldwork and breeding program of Prague Zoo.
I've been personally involved in that project related with the Przewalski horses, which was called Return of the Wild Horses. Thanks to this, I was maybe 9 times in Mongolia with most of the transports, bringing the horses to the southwestern part of Mongolia, to the Great Gobi Bee Structure Protected Area, but also at some other opportunities as well. So it is, for me, the top project as well. And then I also visited and somehow was incorporated into the conservation project related to Indian gharials in India at the Chambal River.
The effort to increase the numbers and the genetic diversity of the species of endangered horse is very much a flagship project of Prague Zoo. The zoo's close relationship with the animal goes back to the 1950s, and in 1997 it joined the ongoing reintroduction efforts in Mongolia. Since 2011, its yearly transportation of the captive-bred wild horses has required a major operation, with the Czech army getting involved too.
When we started bringing the horses from Europe, or basically from Prague, to Mongolia, it was at a time when this population at Great Gobi Bee suffered the strong decline of the population, which was already there. It was caused by the very severe winter. It is in Mongolian language, it's called Dzud, and it means the long winter when the most important thing is the high snow cover, that the horses and also of course the domestic livestock, that they cannot get through the snow to food, and they are starving to death, and it is usually also very often connected with a very low temperatures. But if it's not enough snow and the temperature is low, the horses can survive. They are very well adapted to this. So after that, after this population crash, the project started. The director of Prague Zoo, Mr. Bobek, just had the idea that there could be the army planes used for this specific project. And he was able to negotiate about this. And in 2011, the first four horses were on board and flying to Mongolia.
When I went along to Prague Zoo and spoke to Dr. Šimek, it was a gloriously sunny spring day, and the park was full of families and school parties all having a great time. On such days, it's difficult to imagine the dark days of 2002, when its riverside location meant that the zoo was devastated by that year's floods. 134 animals died as a result, with some keepers braving the waters to put their precious charges out of their misery personally. In the aftermath, public and state support helped to put Prague Zoo back on its feet. Today, the zoo is flourishing. It welcomes almost 1.5 million visitors each year, competing with Prague Castle alone for the most visited Czech attraction. Speaking to any member of the current zoo team also makes it clear how dedicated and enthusiastic they are about nature. For one example, Antonín Vajdl, in charge of the zoo's feathered friends, obviously holds for what is him the best job in the world.
I'm Antonín Vajdl, I'm curator of birds, and this year it's my small anniversary. I'm working here 30 years already, and I start to work as a bird keeper and incubator attendant, and since 2002 I started as assistant of curator, and 2008 as a bird curator. So I'm responsible for all collection of the birds here, so which is including almost 300 bird species. It's one of the largest bird collection in European zoos, and also the breeding results are one of the best ones, because we breed about 100 bird species every year. So I'm responsible for the breeding stock, the bird collection, 30 birds, almost 2,000 individuals, and also my keepers and head keepers. It's a team of 24 keepers and head keepers.
Mr. Vidal's avian affections began at an early age and continue to change and develop today.
I'm also a private bird keeper or breeder since my childhood, and it suddenly happened when I was 10. I remember the day when I was asking to my father that I had a dog and fish and some hamsters and something like that, but I say to my father that something is still missing, and he introduced me with his friend. It was a parrot breeder, so it was the start, and then after I studied veterinary high school and something like that, and so it was the start, and the passion for the birds and the birds are all my life, are in my heart. This is 40 years now. I still have some birds at home, so I kept different kind of birds, including some small passerines and some small birds of prey. Now I have mostly parrots, and also I have some hornbills and owls. I'm now interested, because as I'm working 30 years in Prague Zoo already, it's changing my interest in different groups. So 2-3 years I'm more interested in cranes or pheasants or hornbills or penguins and something. So now I'm in the mode of owls. So the owls are the most interesting for me just now.
I posed to him the same question as before. Is there ever a typical day for Prague Zoo's curator of birds?
I would like to do to visit all the sections with the birds, but now it's much easier, because we have also the WhatsApp group with the different keepers and with the different sections. So I have the information immediately if we need to collect the eggs or help, or there is some injured birds or something like that. So I'm visiting all the birding section, but I have information from the. I'm starting at 7 o'clock. I forgot to mention. But I'm also I'm responsible for the all breeding. So when we put the nest boxes, or we will prepare some nesting platforms or some nesting materials, also the transfer. Also I'm responsible for transfer where the birds will go, and if we are looking for some new ones. So the communication with the other zoos and other colleagues, also with the private breeders, is important to cooperate. And also I'm responsible for in situ projects. So we mentioned today the Edwards Fazan, Vietnamese Fazan. Now it's changed in English, more Vietnamese. It's called Edwards as in the former, or Egyptian Vulture or Brazilian Merganser. But we also work in Bhutan with the white-bellied heron, or in Indonesia with the passerine. So I'm in touch with the people from different kind, different places in the world to sometimes just to help them with some advice how to keep them, like in Mauritius, for example, now with the echo parakeets. So in the morning I have always planned what to do, but because we are working with live animals, and they sometimes change the plan because it's necessary to do something or to help or start some breeding or so my day is very, very various.
Edward's pheasant is one of the star in situ projects in this year's set. This small bird of around 60 centimeters in height with blue-black feathers and a red face is native to the forests of Vietnam. What's so special about it, and what role does Prague play in the life of the species?
Edward's pheasant, it's not so typical pheasant because it's completely blue with a nice red face. This pheasant, it's a long story because it was imported from Vietnam by Jean Delacour to Parc de Claire and Chateau de Claire in France. So last year was the anniversary of 100 years after the first arrival in Europe. Unfortunately, this is endemic of Vietnam, and in Vietnam now probably it's extinct in the wild by IUCN. It's a critical endangered, but probably extinct in the wild because nobody knows about this bird in the wild since 1990. Because the pheasant was quite new also 100 years ago for the captive breeding, and the breeding of pheasants was very, very popular in that time, and many zoos start as a pheasantry and then after change to be the zoos, complete zoos, because it was really every castles start to breed the pheasants, and it was very popular in that time. So also Prague Zoo wanted, I found some very old letter from former directors, then they ask in Vienna, for example, in 30s or 40s, to get this this pheasant also to the breeding stuff of Prague Zoo. So we got them finally in 1949, so it's many, many years ago, and in 1977 we start to breed them. To be honest, it's not so difficult to breed this species. So fortunately, the population in captivity, it's quite large, and also it's well represented in private hands, in private facilities. So now we are working also together with the World Pheasant Association. It's a organization established in UK 50 years ago. This year will be anniversary of this organization. In cooperation with them, we also started some activity in Vietnam to send these birds, because we have well represented population now in Europe, so we start with some work to send them back to Vietnam. So the first step was to build the breeding aviaries in Vietnam. So we did it in central Vietnam. It was supported with many zoos and also World Pheasant Association and private breeders. So it's good work of all enthusiastic together, and now this year it's the big year. We are sending the birds to the breeding center, and there is 8 aviaries now, the breeding aviaries. So we are planning to send 8 breeding pairs there and start with the breeding, and hopefully in the future or near future start with reintroduction, and hopefully we will see this emblematic pheasant. Edward's pheasant also in the wild, back in the wild.
Finally, I was curious to ask whether Prague Zoo is normal or exceptional in the number of its ongoing conservation projects. Is Prague Zoo a leader in this regard?
Definitely, this is not a normal. I think between the zoos, Prague Zoo, it's mainly the work of the director, because the director support the project, and also we feel here that to reintroduce the birds or to help or animals and or to help the animals in the wild is one of the main goal for the zoos, not just the breeding or captive breeding. So I think the Prague Zoo is something like a bridge between the captive breeding and reintroduction projects. This is what I mean, it's very important. But this will not be possible without the support of the director, of course.
Speaking to people at Prague Zoo, it's clear what an asset it is for Czechia. As well as bringing the richness of the natural world to Prague, it in turn connects the Czech capital to nature across the globe, many species of which will live and thrive through the efforts and expertise of the zoo staff.